remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
Right here.
Good afternoon, America. Arizona firefighters are encouraging residents to create defensible space around their property in case a fire breaks out.
Oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Some people are using goats to clear these areas because goats can access terrain too steep or rugged for humans and machinery. And they pretty much eat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, somebody needs to experiment with transferring goat stomachs into humans. Have you ever seen a fat goat?
Boy, are you fat.
I ask you.
You have the manners of a goat.
The city of Chicago is offering a parking lot next to the Shedd Aquarium to George Lucas.
The ultimate power in the universe.
For his museum. Very nice.
Very nice.
That was
very good.
If that happens in the spring, you can go smelt fishing right there. And then visit the museum. Or simply chew caca and visit Chewbacca.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the Allstate Glass Box on your Blackhawks, boom, Cubs Nation mothership, the 720 Dreamliner, the Super G, WGN, Chicago.
Middle of the afternoon, Dreamliner is up, T. Skilling on board.
Hello, Gary.
Hey, if you didn't laugh, you'd cry all day, Tom. Right?
You are so right.
That's right.
Yes, no question about it. But a nice day today.
Little trouble in the cockpit again, right out of the box.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. Well,
we, again, I know this is inside baseball. Technical workshop.
Well, you know what, Gary?
And I'm sure, and I would do it too if I'm listening, when you introduce somebody and they're not there, why aren't they there? What's the big mystery? Why does that happen? Well, Jordan is at Wrigley Field, and if we don't know that, we assume he's in the sports room.
Sure.
And we hit a button, and that's to activate the sports room. But if he's not there, that's what you hear. $5 in the jar.
Gary, if we can lose an entire commercial jetliner and not be able to find it after, you know, the kind of searching that's been done, I suppose we will occasionally miss a segment.
Hey, I like that
from
as an
our
excuse,
sports
Tom.
Department.
That's the one I'm going to use from now on.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't find an airplane with a bunch of people in it.
That's right.
So what is this? It's
so
small potatoes
absolutely.
Compared to that.
We missed a sports report
at
the moment it happened. It came in a minute and a half later.
I wasn't even in the air yet, and I heard that. Yeah. That's how goofy that is.
Right.
Boy,
hey,
you've
got to like this. Is Gary Meyer?
I was
going to
say,
weather.
Tom, al fresco after the show tonight.
I don't blame you, Gary. I wish I could get out and do that, too.
And is it going to last? Because I know, like the economy, the atmosphere is unstable.
It is. It is. But I'll tell you, we're going to have another 80-degree day tomorrow. The big concern is we've got a potentially significant severe weather set up for this evening. I mean, all the ingredients are in place. Warmth, humidity, atmospheric energy, wind shear. So these storms, we're seeing some towering cumulus showing up on the satellite now, and these things ought to bubble up into some thunderstorms. And we run a whole series of these high-resolution models, and they're blowing up these storm clusters up in the northern counties in southern Wisconsin and then settling them southward here into the city in the next several hours. So there may be some weather watches that come out, but once that goes by tonight, and it will be by before daybreak, tomorrow's another 80-degree day. Then we do turn markedly cooler Thursday with a wind off the lake, and Friday will feature a lake breeze, so there'll be 70s inland and low 60s at the lake. But the Memorial Day weekend still looks like it's going to warm up, and I think we could be talking 89, 90 degrees on Monday around here.
Talk it, baby.
Yeah, isn't that something? It couldn't be better planned. 2 years ago, we had a 90-degree Memorial Day. Last year, we had a 62. So this year, we've got a plan now. It looks like about 27 degrees warmer than Memorial Day a year ago.
We deserve it.
We do.
So
and
when
the warmth continues into next week. This is what's nice. I think we're seeing the beginning of a more summer-like pattern. It's not to say there won't be a cool day or a couple of days here and there. There certainly will be later in the week.
Well, summer starts on your calendar officially next week.
It does. Yeah.
And that's it. We got 3 months to play with right there.
That's it.
Then we're down to those 90 days of let's have it.
You got
bring it.
You got it.
So tonight when this stuff starts up, about what time? If I'm in the middle of spooling pasta somewhere, am I going to get slapped
here's
with
the
some
deal.
Flying lawn furniture?
The models have by 6 o'clock stuff, storm clusters already roaming the northern suburbs, and it may have started an hour before that. And then it reaches the city, depending on which solution you're looking at, somewhere between, oh, say, 7 and 9 o'clock. And then increases in aerial coverage through midnight. We could even have some thunderstorm clusters going through here at 3 or 4 in the morning. And then the stuff ought to exit by way of our southern suburbs after that. So I think by the time we get to daybreak, we're okay.
Okay, because thank God I called PermaSeal for my mother.
Yeah, good idea.
2 a.m., the phone would ring.
Right.
The water's coming up through my sink.
Well, you know, another thing, too, we got the Cubs in town tonight, too, so there may be some issues with that game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cluster's
coming along, yeah.
Well, the pregame is at 6:30.
Right, so and I think they'll get it underway. I'm not forecasting a rainout at this point, but we're going to have to watch that.
All right.
How this stuff forms.
And, well, now I don't know, because I'm off at 6:30. I thought I'd go right to El Fresco, but you were saying it's starting to form around that time.
Yeah, it'll be forming up north, I think. And you can kind of see on the satellite these towering cumulus that are forming. Oh, they're kind of laid out now from just south of Dubuque up to, it looks like, just north of Lake Geneva, and then up into the Milwaukee area. And that's the area that looks like it'll be starting to pop some thunderstorms in the next hour or two.
Okay. And I'll take a little break here and come right back. I'll come right back.
Sure.
And
I understand. I know what you're saying.
Sure you do.
Because I'm as messed up as you are. See, I, you know, this mind.
Well, I,
we're fading at the same rate, Gary, you know?
Yeah. Well, that happens.
I know.
I've got spring fever.
That's what I'm
going to blame it on.
Right.
My tongue is swollen from all the pollen in the
air.
There
it is.
That's what it is. There. Got it.
You got it.
Thank you.
You nailed it there.
Super G. I'm getting some texts here. Are we looking at any tornado concern tonight?
Well, we could spin up one here or there. It looks like hail and gusty winds and downpours are the main mode of severe weather with this, but we could get a couple, you know, given the warmth and the amount of energy in the atmosphere, you could get a couple of these cells to spin up an isolated tornado, so we'll have to watch. There are no advisories out yet for this, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a watch of some sort come out here in the next couple hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so
I want to remind everybody that I will be broadcasting from the Rockford International Airport on June 4th.
Wow.
Yeah. Going right to the airport, Chicago's third airport.
That's a first, isn't it? You haven't been out there broadcasting.
I have not broadcast from the airport.
But you've done programs out there.
I have broadcast before out there last fall, and we had a real nice turnout.
Yeah.
So we decided to go bigger. So please show up so it's not just six of us sitting in a terminal.
And it's Gary Meyer.
Doesn't matter.
People are going to flood
again,
in to
if
see
you just want to come and sit in the terminal, always interesting people to look at the airport.
Right.
That's part of the fun.
Sure.
June 4th from 3 to 6:30.
Are you going to bring your experimental aircraft out there?
I think I'll take the ultralight in, yeah.
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 I think that'd be a way. Wouldn't that be an entrance?
That would be.
Yeah. It sure would.
It sure would.
Yeah.
Sure would.
Right.
Here's what I'm going to give away when I'm out there. You could win VIP tickets to the AirFest, which will take place that following weekend, June 7th and 8th. These are for June 7th. You get your free parking there, and you got your food and non-alcoholic beverages included in that package. So come on out, June 4th.
Oh, Cliff is here.
Let me take it from here, Gary.
Thank you, Cliff.
Oh, that'll be June 4th.
Yeah.
The Chicago Rockford International Airport.
Right.
Come on, come on. For directions and more info, visit the events page at WDOutRadio.com.
See, that Cliff heard that. He wanted to jump in.
I'm caught between puppets right now. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. There's a lot going on, and I can't get it out of my head. All right, here's what's going on, Tom.
I was going to let it out.
Well, Sarad, this is my season finale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he gives me that.
You are entering level one of discomfort.
Who said that? Bob said
Sarad,
that?
What the hell is that?
What do you say here?
Season finale. I don't know what that. He doesn't know what that means.
Who shot BS?
So he sure is a lot.
Can I add to the unusualness of the day?
Yes.
Can you guys see outside your window by the Starbucks? There are Hare Krishnas out there.
Oh, yeah. I saw them
last week.
I haven't seen them in 25 years. Really?
They did?
Last week they walked by.
And I saw them the other day, too, assembled somewhere. And I think Steve's bringing that up because I really haven't seen Hare Krishnas on the street.
No.
And you see them at the airport, or I haven't even seen them at the airport in recent years.
No, that's true. They used to see them all the time.
Why are they back? That doesn't sound good.
I was at Starbucks, and you know everyone there is pretty young working there. And I said, are those Hare Krishnas? And they're like, what?
What?
What are they?
What are they? And it's funny because...
Is that a kind of bird?
The other night I watched Hannah and her sisters, and there is a scene in the movie where Woody Allen is looking for a new religion, and he meets these Hare Krishnas in the park. And I thought, when I was watching it, boy, I haven't seen Hare Krishnas in a while, and now they're there.
They like the front of the Hotel Intercontinental. That's where they've been setting up recently.
And is that a hot spot for people that want to convert? Those are people from deep in the South on a convention. The restaurant show is in, isn't it?
That's right. They are, because we had a chef in today on the noon show.
Yeah, yes. There are tater tots all over the highway. So they think they can convert these restaurant people?
I don't know.
Is that their game?
Maybe they want a free meal, you know? Just, there we go.
There
George,
we go.
I was going to ask when George Harrison was going to start
this
singing.
This is interesting because this weekend is International Male Leather Weekend.
Yeah.
And they're going to be assembling. They already have started. I saw a few yesterday. So when the Hare Krishnas and the leather guys get together, look out. This is going to be quite a weekend.
Hey, did you hear, speaking of, I don't know what brought this up, except the hearing, I guess, George Harrison. Did you hear the controversy that's coming up on this Stairway to Heaven?
No.
They claim that the open was lifted off another group back in the 1960s. I heard them talking about this on some business show, and apparently this song is one of the most requested rock songs of all time. And has earned, I don't know, countless billions of dollars over the years.
Okay, but why is it just coming up now?
Well, apparently, I don't know, because the musician who wrote that is dead now. But I gather there's an interview where he said, you know, they ripped this off me. Or he made that claim. And so this is going to be litigated now.
Okay, the song came out in the early 70s.
I know. It's just
what took you so
ago.
Long?
Well, it's like My Sweet Lord. They claim that was a ripoff of the Chiffons, right? I never could quite figure that out, and he's so fine.
Yeah, and I wonder, because I think some of these lawsuits say that this song has earned this much over the decades. Maybe they, I don't know if they're this cunning, but they wait and they go, look,
sure.
It's 40 years of generating income. We want half of that or whatever.
Percentage of it. That's
exactly what's... Is that the angle? Otherwise, I can't imagine why they waited this long.
No, that's exactly what's being litigated. There'll be settlements, and there'll be restitution paid if it's viewed as this indeed being a plagiarism. You know, there'll be a settlement along those lines. So they were saying in this discussion about it. But I saw it online today, too. So apparently this is going proceeding.
Has the song they claim it was lifted from been made public?
Well, you know what's interesting? They on this report, they laid in the music bed from this song with Stairway to Heaven, and the two marry beautifully.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really stunning. I gather it's only the first part of that song, you know, where the instrumental bed that they open up that song with that they're claiming is a plagiarism.
All right, let me see if I can find that and do a Boss comparison.
Yeah, because they've got it online. You could definitely do that, Gary.
All right, Tom, if anything starts to get wonky in the weather department, you'll break in.
I will indeed.
Thank you.
You bet.
Talk to you at 6.
Okay.
Super G. Super G. Okay, some programming notes to my affiliates down the line. Milt Rosenberg was going to be on today, but he had to cancel, so I'll get him on at some other time. Tomorrow, the show will stream only at 3 o'clock. It starts on the stream because the Cubs have an afternoon game, and now I'm told that that's all I'll be doing. I thought, as in the past, after the Cubs game, I would rejoin the mothership, AM 720, but whenever the Cubs game is over and the post game is done, I won't do anything. I'm just going to be on the stream and just at some point go, see ya, because they're going to throw it to the United Center, and I guess Dave Ennett and Pete McMurray and Nick DiGilio and a bunch of other people are going to be sitting by a table doing that. That's all I know.
I think Tom, the guy that sells the programs, is going to be there too.
He's going to sit in,
yeah.
Do some shtickle, high shtickle. That's what I've been told. So I'll only be on the stream until, well, they say these Yankees-Cubs games or any Yankees game is long because they take their time. What do? Do they have a sandwich between pitches?
A lot of scratching, a lot of readjusting in the batter's box.
But they all do that. Why the Yankees? Are they notorious for doing more scratching? Anyway, they say those games are longer. So whenever that is over, I'm over on the stream. So if you want to hear anything of this, WGNradio.com. Tomorrow from 3 to question mark. And then after that, it's at the United Center with, like I said, Pete and Nick and Dave and Holly and Jill and all the other kids.
Bob and Ted and Carol.
The whole lineup. Everybody that loves talk hockey there. And I said, well, wait a minute. I got this thing going. Yeah? What about it? We want to do a hockey-centric show. I go, well, I have hockey people on.
Season finale.
Season finale. And Ciroc comes in. They poison him, too. Gary Myers next with the season finale, whatever that means. Even Marianne went, what am I doing with this guy?
She even, what does that mean?
She even had that look like, okay, enough. Is that Bobby Hall doing the Avenue Q commercial? I haven't heard the Avenue Q commercial. That's the play with puppets, right?
Right, yeah. The racy puppets.
Yeah, it's really blue.
Oh, yeah. And blue, green, they're all colors.
But what they say is blue.
Simulated puppet sex.
Really?
Simulated. Oh, yeah. What makes it simulated?
I guess it's actual puppet sex, yeah. And there are warnings about that.
But it's really good. That's what I've heard.
Puppet sex?
Puppet sex
is awesome.
It's
hey,
soft.
Gang. Hey, gang.
You know, you laugh about my puppets.
This thing has won awards.
Oh, yeah.
Major it's supposed to be very good, yeah.
Tony Awards, yeah.
I almost took my Sunday. We went to New York a few years ago. I was going to take him. We didn't go, but.
Well, this would be in line with watching Game of Thrones with him.
Right, yeah.
Softcore porn he watches with his son.
Yeah, because they've bonded. His son, by the way, is 6.
Well, look at those.
He'll be 7 in June.
Yeah, really appropriate. But I don't think that's Bobby Hall doing. I haven't heard the commercial.
It's a deep-throated puppet doing the voice.
Well, it's simulated.
And then we're going to have carnal knowledge on stage.
And then the marionettes come down.
I don't
the
think
strings.
You can hear anything about his throat.
But. It's hot puppetry on ice. You work the strings. We need you.
Are we
now.
Playing the commercial?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know you think, well, don't you listen to anything that's going on here? There's a lot of stuff going on during the breaks. Yelling, screaming, crying.
It's like a hockey game. We jump over the boards.
Yeah,
it's
there's
very fluid
switches,
around here. Yeah.
And I can't pay attention to everything.
They've got to freshen your makeup during those breaks, too, right? The hair.
I was looking for the Hare Krishnas across the street. I thought I'd invite them over, and they could talk outside the Allstate studio, but I don't see them at the Starbucks. So they're welcome to come over. I'm dying to hear their whole shtickle, because these are young people and they just drop out, right? This is it.
And when they walked by last week, I believe it was, they had the shaved heads. It was the whole deal.
Oh, yeah. It's the traditional, standard, classic.
The blousy tunics.
Did they ever go into a beetle cut or something?
Well, no, I just figured maybe in 2014, they may have updated the look, but it's still the blousy tunic.
It's the finger tambourines.
Yeah.
It's all the classic Hare Krishna stuff that you've come to love.
Krishna, yeah. Rama, Rama. Yeah, they do the same.
And was also the looks that they were getting were the same as in 1962.
Well, literally, God bless them. And that God is their thing, right? Or is it Krishna? Well, it's all the same. I mean, come on. We can't have multiple masters. It just would be confusing. There'd be a turf war. But,
wow,
but they might be right.
Ending the season with a cliffhanger.
Yes, I am. They might be right. They seem to have something going on, and they're happy with it. Let them go.
Well, you know, when George Harrison was being stabbed, he screamed out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Right, because he was totally into that.
And he still got stabbed. Didn't help.
Well, till his wife hit the goofball with a lamp.
Yeah, you should have said, honey.
Yeah. Well, how about that? You've got a guardhouse outside your estate.
With guards.
When the guy broke in, he threw a patio chair through a sliding glass door. That's how he got in the house. So George hears this, and he calls down to the guardhouse. The guard is not in the guardhouse. I don't know where he was, but he wasn't. That's the only time you need him. So the guard was basically useless because the guy, when George came out onto the balcony, the guy was in. He saw George. He ran up the stairs and started stabbing him. And then George's wife came out, took a table lamp, and smacked him on the head. That's the only thing that saved him at that point, where the guard was. Who knows? After that, he got these Israeli bodyguards. Right. Yeah. You don't mess with those guys. They got the Uzis and everything.
But so, they couldn't cure cancer, though.
Well, again, I don't know if the stabbing helped. Because he already had the cancer.
He already had cancer,
But he got a collapsed lung after the stabbing. I'm sure that didn't help. Now, whether that would have changed anything, who knows? A little over 3.5 weeks, and the days get shorter. Cannot wait. This is the guy that loves winter, gray, and all that stuff. I don't want to even think about that. We're basically just getting out of the woods now, as far as I'm concerned.
How is it going to rain today? It's beautiful right now.
All right. You know how this happens.
Oh.
Suddenly, everything starts to change. It's anti-M, anti-M, and then you run.
It's gorgeous.
Google Mills College plus goats. They use them at this college, and the Teamsters complained because goats took away jobs. Well, they have goats out at O'Hare chewing on that grass that they can't really get to with a lawnmower.
Because they were going to even introduce llamas just to intimidate the goats a little bit, I think. So everybody knows their job's shaky.
Are we talking about Avenue Q again? Is that another situation I'm not grasping? And this controversy about Stairway to Heaven, the intro, sounds like something from another group. And come to find out, it's Spirit, Randy California. Remember, I got a line on you?
Yeah.
That group? All right, after I step down for just a few minutes, we'll do a boss comparison. Mark is on the phone. If he can hang on, I'll talk to him right after that at 312-981-7200, the Super G. Mark, you're on the blower. What up, Holmes?
Yay. I actually, before I get to the thing about the puppets there, I got a quarter acre. If somebody out there has some advice on what size animal I need to get to be able to cut all that grass, that'd be great. I was thinking about a cow, but it might be overkill. But in regards to the puppets, I was just kind of wondering, what do the puppets say when they're, like the male puppet says, when he gets excited? They say he's got a human going on or a little fleshy going on? Because us humans, we say, hey, got a woody, honey. In my case, it's, hey, honey, got a sliver coming.
All right.
Ooh.
I don't know where that was going. Well, I think I do. That's why I just decided it's enough. He's referring to this play, Avenue Q, which has some puppet erotica, if you will. All right. On to the comparison of...
Puppotica.
Puppotica. Spirit, if you remember this group. Randy California was in the group, and I remember the hit, I Got a Line on You.
Got a line on you, babe.
That is an impression of the song, if you will. There is a band member now claiming, because Randy is dead, that the intro to Stairway to Heaven mimics their song, Taurus, an instrumental track on Spirit's self-titled album, which came out in 1968. Apparently, they opened for Zeppelin along the way in their day, and that's where all this goes back to. But they say Stairway to Heaven has generated $562 million, which includes royalties and record sales. So I don't know if the weight... Now, they say in this article that Randy California, he didn't talk about it that much. He was kind of an easygoing guy, so just kind of let it go. But I wonder, if you wait this long, are you trying to accumulate more money because it keeps generating money? And if you wait 40 years... you get a bigger payday.
Or his estate is like, hey, we're sitting on a gold mine here, and even he may have been a hippie, but I am a capitalist.
Well, otherwise, I don't know why you wait that long. Anyway, here's Spirit. Yeah, that pretty much sounds like the beginning of Stairway to Heaven. The news of the lawsuit has prompted a lively comment session over whether you can copyright chord progressions and chords.
It's even got that little squeak.
That's like, right.
You know, the chord squeak? Because Jimmy Page does that little when he...
Well, it's just when you're moving your fingers over the strings, but...
It's pronounced.
Okay. See you in court.
Not Randy.
40 years later, though, they're bringing this up. 312-981-7200.
Hey, Michael Jackson's still singing, right? And he's dead, so.
That's right. He'll be on tour soon, I would imagine, after his hologram made such a showing on Sunday. Hey, I've got something to give away right now. Let's do that. I have a ticket voucher good for one complimentary carload admission to the 2014 Rockford Airfest, which will be on June 7th and 8th at the Chicago Rockford International Airport. The ticket is valid for a one-day admission. That means you get everybody in a car who can put a seatbelt on, and you'll get all them in. The event marks the return of this air show that was on hiatus last year because the sequestration kicked in, and that was the end of that. But it's back. The Thunderbird demonstration team will be there, Golden Knights, and all kinds of stuff right at the airport. It's a great show. I was there a couple years ago.
You're ambassador.
And I'll be the ambassador again this year on June 7th. To reduce gate entrance wait times, the AirFest has implemented a carload system, providing admission to anyone riding in a car wearing a legal seatbelt for a single price. It's a good deal. Tickets are currently on sale, can be purchased online at rockfordairfest.com or at any participating area Culver's restaurant. I'll tell you what, the Culver's commercials, after I see that, I want to go get whatever they're selling.
Did you see that pub grinder?
Yeah.
Burger with the Swiss cheese?
Everything they put on there.
Oh.
Delicious.
Does that look good?
For full event details, be sure to visit rockfordairfest.com. How about the 25th caller right now, 312-591-7000?
Now, did they name you ambassador because you speak aeronautics?
Pretty much, yeah, because I run the Dreamliner. They know I have experience doing
that. But you know all that jargon? Like, what is that, flying dirty?
Flying dirty with flaps and wheels down when you're getting ready to land. That's,
and what was
flying dirty.
What's the sky? Isn't there a sky, a certain kind of sky?
9/11, it was severe clear.
Severe clear.
Severe clear, yeah. I got out of the terminology down. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Because I fly this bird every afternoon.
You should get at very least, when you go there as ambassador, you should try to find, like, the pilot's hat. Because that looks cool.
Oh, sure. I'll look like Gnarls Barkley if I do that.
I mean, you should at least wear the cool hat.
If I had one, I would.
Bring a few stews with you.
Yeah. Right. I'll look like Leonardo DiCaprio right. And Catch Me If You Can when he was pretending to be a pilot.
Those nice tight-fitting dresses with the little cool hats.
Back when aviation was cool.
When they moved their tail for you.
And we're not at that time a flying bus, which it's become now. But that air show is very nice. Rockford does a great job on that. June 7th and 8th, I'll be broadcasting from the airport June 4th. So come out, say hello, like to see you. Had a nice turnout last time we were in Rockford. And that is our Rockford Ice Hogs Center right there.
Blackhawks farm team.
And boy, have they produced some great players.
A lot of the guys, there's a few guys even that on the roster now that started.
It's a good farm system they got going there.
Hey, Crow played there.
Teresa Cray from Elburn won that weather radio. I'll give away more of those, the Basement Watchdog weather radio. We are in the tornado and prom season, so it's good to have that. Because when you're fast asleep, you're not going to know. How would you know there's a tornado coming? If you sleep really deeply, next thing you know, you're sleeping, but your bed is 5 miles away with somebody else's TV at your feet. You don't need that.
You're in a different zip code.
Yeah. You don't know what happened. Wait, where am I?
Where's my cul-de-sac?
Yeah. This is not my place. It's my bed.
This is not my beautiful house.
No.
These are not my beautiful kids.
How did I get here? Bob and Marianne did it already at 2 p.m. I don't care what Bob and Marianne did at 2 p.m.
They
what am I supposed to do?
They didn't do it as good as we did.
No. They do their own version of starting to argue against each other about what they think. Okay? Some things repeat.
So if one show does it,
yeah,
then the other show, no one else could talk about it now.
I guess not.
Yeah. I think WLS did it too at about 10 a.m.
Yeah.
So now what?
It was 10:30.
Okay.
Was it?
Yeah, I think John Cass was going over that.
Okay.
This really sounds the same.
All right, I think we're ready. We got a lot of good anger out there. 24/7/20. You're ready to go. We're going to make it till 6:30. This is the Super G. Coming up in a few minutes, I'll talk to the inventors of the Crave Bar. What happens when you marry salt and sweet? You get a pretty good ice cream bar. That's what you get. It's interesting to me how you come up with an idea. How do you market an ice cream bar or a new cookie or whatever? It seems like the market would be saturated. So I'll have the two creators of said Crave Bar on to discuss how that process works.
Sharks?
Sharks?
We need your help. We need your connections. We need your marketing.
The Crave Bar marries artisanal chocolate, pretzels, and ice cream. What we want to do is... Oh, ho. Tell me your margins. How many have you sold?
So who wants to take a bite with us?
And then you have the tray of product to go over. Mr. Wonderful, how do you like it?
We've got you a salty one.
So that's coming up in a few minutes. As you may have heard on the promo that was running since my last show, Dr. Milt Rosenberg, who was a cornerstone of this radio station for many years, was scheduled to be on today to talk about another project that involved some of the platforms at WGN. He had to reschedule, so I'll let you know when he'll be back on the air with me to talk about that.
Best time for him to come on would be when someone hangs up the phone.
When you hear that, hang up.
Then you can dial in and get in.
I will try to accommodate your thoughts on these things. I'm going to have the mayor of Jerusalem on in just a few minutes.
720.com. You got to love Milt.
I love Milt.
He called me a hottie once.
Atta girl. He called me a hottie once, too. Oh.
I went on a date with him.
Willie. And here's Willie. And I don't mean anything but Willie the caller. Willie.
No, it's Roy.
It's Ray.
Roy, R-O-Y.
Roy.
Willie Roy used to be the coach of the Sting.
Right.
So that's Willie Roy.
It says Willie. I don't know what Craig's thinking. I don't think I want to know. It's hot. And a boy's thoughts turn to, you know.
He's got Willie's on his mind.
In the spring.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, Roy, what do you got?
Yeah, Gary. Well, if you take, you were talking about the Led Zeppelin song and the Spirit song.
Didn't I tell you Bob and Marianne talked about that 2 hours ago?
Huh? Scotty Myers. If you take the John Mellencamp song, I'm On My Way, and the Three Dog Night song, Shambhala, it's the exact same chord progression.
So you're saying that Mellencamp ripped off Three Dog Night?
Yes.
Okay.
There's about 8 notes, right?
You could do so many lawsuits if you were to base that on 3 or 4 chords that open a song or whatever. I mean, it's endless.
Sure. Well, look at the George Harrison lawsuit with He's So Fine.
Yeah, I couldn't connect those dots.
Really?
Not at all.
You don't hear that?
Nah.
My sweet Lord, he's so fine.
I mean, you can hear anything and anything if you listened hard enough, I guess.
Right.
But I don't know why there's this lag time. And for a while, Chicago was famous for these guys who said that Paul McCartney had plagiarized their music, Michael Jackson. We had a few of
the
these
Bee Gees.
Guys. Yeah. And they were all in some suburban Chicago area claiming that they had written all these hit songs. I don't think any of them won a dime. Thank you, Willie.
And also Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy.
It goes on and on, doesn't it? I wanted to get into this George Lucas Museum. Chicago claims it has found a site that would be perfect for this museum. It is the parking lot that is alongside the Field Museum, the Shedd Aquarium, and the Adler Planetarium.
Then where am I going to park?
Okay. It'll be underground. Okay. The parking will be underground. That's what George likes. He likes the underground parking.
Having a floating pod above the thing.
Something like that, yeah. No, we'll have Wookiee park your car. How about that? Let's have attended parking with all these characters.
Park would you like? Yes.
You could have the Jawa do it, but they would just confiscate it and take it and steal it from you.
Yes. I want Jar Jar Binks. How about you?
No, Jar Jar. Stop with Jar Jar.
I don't care. I don't know the history.
I don't like Jar Jar.
I don't know why people don't like Jar Jar. My point is, how about we line up a dozen of the characters standing there, and you pick who you want the valet park your car,
like a Boba Fett,
something like that. Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Anyway, that's the area they're going to present. I like this article that came out today concerning this. He didn't come here and say, I want to regentrify a blighted area. That's not what this is all about. He wants to be near water and part of nature. Because there was talk, how about we put it where they could use this? I'm sure they'd want to plop this down in the middle of Inglewood.
Right next to the Obama Library.
Yeah, the Obama Library's already got that space or near there. I want to get to that, too, sometime before 6:30.
And the big to-do is that it would eliminate tailgating if they park all those otherwise tailgaters in some underground parking garage.
That's right. That does happen in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't
come here. He didn't come here and say, "I want to re-gentrify a blighted area." I'm not going to do that. Let somebody else do that.
He doesn't want to go to the Death Star.
No, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to help people. I want to have my own museum on the lakefront.
Yeah, but you know what's so funny? So they took a month for this task force to find it, and then they wound up putting it where all the other museums are. Well, we could have done that the first day, right? We got three museums, put another one. I mean, what was so hard about that?
Well, they pretend like they're looking around, so George thinks they're really on this.
Yeah, I mean...
Either that or the Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah. That's right. That's what bumped out that Al Capone restaurant. Yeah. That's a perennial. What's next? George Lucas Museum, right over there. High traffic area by the Hard Rock.
We studied it.
Yeah. The city studied.
I mean, where did they study? There's already three museums there.
They've got a binder at City Hall. They flip through it. Okay, take out all the blighted areas. Okay, here we have it.
This is like a jury. You know, like, once they got in the room together, they said, we'll put it in the museum campus. Okay, now what do we do for the next month? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do?
Don't do anything. Look like we're doing something.
We already have our verdict.
Exactly.
I think there was a spot in Sauganash they were looking at.
Over in Sauganash?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. 312-981-7200, talking about the George Lucas Museum. And, Diane, your input on that.
Yeah, there are four areas that are, three of them in the South Loop area and one on the south side that would give George Lucas not only a beautiful view of water, but acreage to build his museum on. The first place is where the so-called DePaul basketball stadium is going to go. The second place would be Michael Reese Hospital adjacent to that parcel. The third place would be the old McCormick Place building that replaced the one that burnt down when we were kids. And the fourth place would be down by the Steelworks, you know, where they had some outdoor concerts. They could take that acreage. He would have Lake Calumet all to himself to build his own whatever the hell it is he wants.
Diane, he didn't come in here and say, "I want to re-gentrify a blighted area." That's not what this is about. He wants to be near water and part of nature that seems to be within about 50 feet of downtown Chicago.
But he could be such a hero, and then he could be politically correct.
Nah, he's not going to do
that. And he would make tons of money.
He's not going to do that. I would be surprised if Chicago got this, because the area in San Francisco that he wants is magnificent. They won't give it to him because they know it's magnificent. They don't want this museum to junk it up, even though it would be a nice building and all that. But they want it to remain as it is. So what we're offering is not going to be anywhere near that. But he's not going to go to those areas you mentioned. Now, I thought that original McCormick Place, give them that. They don't probably use that much. Just rip out that ugly-ass carpeting, as OJ would say, and have at it.
Do a gut rehab job on that, and it would be awesome.
But that's not going to happen. You know, guys like this, they want the monument built to their specifications. They want their own monument. And I don't know if this is going to get much further than it already has, because it seems like he wants to be in San Francisco. Whether they cave and give him something remotely that he wants, who knows? But that parking lot...
Give him Oakland.
Give him Oakland. Okay. Thank you, Matt. Give him Oakland.
Hey, Gary. Real quick, I hate to change her mind, but that they still use that. I hate to contradict her, but they still use that old McCormick Place. It's called the Lakeside Center, and the Erie Crown Theater is in there. So I don't think they want to tear that down.
How many?
But that's not the reason I called.
How many? Mm-hmm? How many concerts do they have at the Erie Crown Theater anymore?
Well, nothing big, you know, but they do have stuff there.
Okay, but
it's stuff more like Rachel Barton and stuff like that, you know. But
Rachel
anyway,
Barton.
The reason I called, you remember Rachel Barton?
Yeah, she had her violin case stuck in the train door and lost her leg.
Yeah, she's still recording. I mean, she puts out CDs and she appears all over worldwide, and she's awesome. Anyway,
that didn't hurt her violin.
Exactly. Thank God it wasn't her. It was her leg and not her arms. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I don't think that spirit thing sounds like, because that opening guitar, it's just finger picking and it's a downward progression, whereas the finger picking on Stairway to Heaven is an upward progression. So they don't sound alike to me at all. But the biggest case I heard about that was Huey Lewis tried to sue Ray Parker Jr., saying that he stole the theme to Ghostbusters from I Want a New Drug.
Yes.
Now, whatever became of that, I don't know. They may have settled out of court, but I don't think he got much of anything at all.
I think it was settled out of court. But, yeah, that was another one. And these things are always percolating.
But they don't sound like it all to me either. You know, I think Huey was just looking for some extra dough.
So Robert Plant and Jimmy Page should go to court and go, it was a downward chord.
It was an E flat.
It was a, it was not up. It was down.
I heard that they asked Huey Lewis to do the thing first. He didn't want to do it.
So do what?
For Ghostbusters. And so then they got Ray Parker and they said, hey, can you write something that sounds like this?
Yeah, I imagine I can. Okay. I have more on this museum thing that is kind of funny to me, and I'll get to it when I get a chance here before 6:30.
He should have went to Bedford Park if he wanted water.
What's that?
He should have went to Bedford Park if he wants water.
Bedford Park.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He got a great water supply.
I'm proposing Bedford Park. Super G.
I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh, my, I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Nice hot day to talk about ice cream, and that's what I'm going to do with my guests, Kim and Scott Holstein. They have created something called the Crave Bar, and it is a marriage of salt and sweet. And I want to go back to how you guys started. I'm a big fan of the Shark Tank show,
yes,
where people present their products and try to get marketing and some infusion of cash. So let me go back to how you got started to come up with this ice cream bar, but it started way before this with pretzels.
Mm-hmm.
And some your family, Scott, was in the ice cream business?
We own the Ben & Jerry's ice cream shop on Armitage, just east of Clark Street when I was in college. Used to run that and used to show up at like, you know, 2 a.m. with my buddies. Didn't work out so well. We ate the margins.
Okay. And you just ran that, Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, my dad,
and your buddies,
my
dad, your family's involved in this.
My family was involved. Yeah, I was managing it, and my family was involved. We had a couple other families,
so that's a franchise.
That was
a
franchise,
okay.
Exactly. So that was where the ice cream started. But then I met Kim in '94 at a bookstore in Chicago, October 20th at 8:13 p.m.
And you're salty, she's sweet.
You got
is
it.
Is that how this works?
That's exactly how it works.
So you got your foot in the food industry by working at Ben & Jerry's.
You got it.
And then you meet Kim.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your background, Kim, on this?
So I was in advertising, but I was obsessed with pretzels. I couldn't stop thinking about soft pretzels with different flavors. It just was an idea.
Because
crazy idea.
Just pretzels were always on your mind.
I read a little article about a woman making pretzels at a farmer's market, and it was just like a little tiny article, and I just could not get them out of my head.
Okay.
Started dreaming of the chocolate chip pretzel. It was really that salty and sweet flavor that I was obsessed with.
Did you start making pretzels on your own?
I did, and they were terrible. They were horrible.
All right.
You know, but I was working on a plan and the idea of these different flavored soft pretzels. And then I met Scott.
And I just wanted to hang out with her.
Okay.
That was essentially it. And she wanted to do pretzels. It could have been,
were you still,
ice cubes.
Were you still with... Well, that's good.
Yeah.
This is a very nice story. And were you still with Ben & Jerry's or had you left?
Okay, so by that point, I graduated college and started a theater company in Chicago. And then I was working part-time in sales, just looking for a mission, you know, a lot of passion, ideas, you know. So she helped me focus.
And so
we made pretzels our mission.
So you meet each other, and Kim goes, I love pretzels. And you go, I work with ice cream.
And I said, I love you, and I'll go for pretzels. Let's do pretzels.
So you started making pretzels together.
Yeah. That's it.
And tell me how that process works. Do you start making them in your kitchen?
Exactly.
And taking them around to sell? How does this work?
Exactly. So we started making them in our kitchen, and then eventually we opened a little bakery on the west side here in Chicago.
But a wholesale bakery.
Wholesale bakery, yeah. And all different flavors, pizza, grilled cheese, chocolate fudge. And then we started selling them at different restaurants, bars, and also on the frozen aisle.
And how did you get your cash infusion to do this?
Well, we started really on a credit card, essentially. We didn't have Shark Tank at the time. So we started on a credit card. And then we found customers that would pay really quickly, which is the key. So if you, you know, if your suppliers who supply your flour give you 30 days, you can get somebody to pay you in 15. They're essentially financing your business. So our first big customer was the guy who sells pretzels at McCormick Place.
Nice.
So he would show up and pick up his pretzels with a check. And we're like, yeah!
And how many people are working for you at this time, or is it just the two of you making pretzels?
At that time?
At that time, well, there was the two of us, and then we started with one employee, and then we added another team member. But back with McCormick Place, it was, we probably had about four.
Yeah.
Four
people. How long does it take to make a pretzel?
A soft pretzel takes about an hour.
With start to finish.
Yeah, start to finish.
One pretzel?
Yeah. You know, you got to mix it. You got to, you know, proof it. And in our case, we used to stuff them with cheese, and you can still buy them. And, you know,
takes a lot of care.
But when the McCormick Place deal came, how many did he want?
Thousands.
Thousands.
So how do you ramp up?
You spend all night making pretzels, essentially. You know, you hopefully
get creative.
Yeah, and he'll give you. So he would say, okay, we have the auto show coming up in 3 weeks, or, you know, so he'll give us an order.
A little lead time.
And then we'll freeze them. So that was the key. We kind of thought about, you know, since we were a frozen product, we could store them. That was the key. Because a lot of people get into, I think, the fresh bakery world, and it's a, you know, you have to make it and sell it that day.
Okay, so, now where do you go from there?
Well, we started doing trade shows. Like, we started doing the restaurant show because it was here. You know, so Chicago's a really good place because you get a lot of big trade shows coming through. So once we're there and we can get a booth, you just scrape to get a booth cost.
And you start sampling.
Yeah.
And then the magic happens. We'd have lines of people trying all the different flavors, and that was really our forum for selling. We met a lot of big customers at the trade shows.
And what happened? You got a lot of sales out of that. And where do you go from there?
So you get, you know, we've got national customers. So like Starbucks and people like that would come by. And there really wasn't that much exciting going on in the soft pretzel world back then. But it's a product that people understood. So.
And we started selling on QVC. We did that for
And
many
you still
years.
Have three people making pretzels
no.
online?
No.
The team built with us.
Yeah. And by the end, we started growing. As she said, QVC, when QVC hit, which was like in
2002.
Yeah, 2002, was that right? Which we essentially got from the Department of Agriculture of Illinois. They sent us a flyer saying that QVC is looking for products. So we submitted the product to QVC and ended up going to the Mall of America with like 500 other people trying to get on QVC, and we're lined up next to like a broom special, you know, all these crazy candle
inventors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So,
and what happened?
And they said, we want you to go on air. And it was probably, it was about like 5 months later that we had our first airing. And,
how many did you sell off of that?
A couple hundred thousand. It was in the holiday season.
It takes
season.
An hour to make one.
Well, by then, we were making more because we had some national customers. And so, yeah, QVC is crazy. So you have to ship it, you know, drop ship it in a cooler with ice from Chicago. We'd have like a UPS semi show up during the holiday season, Christmas time, and they would show up and they'd wait there overnight while we filled the truck with coolers.
All right, I want to continue on and get the story of how we arrive at the Crave Bar.
Please,
from
yes.
Kim and Scott Holstein. You hear these stories about people that have an idea and they put all their savings and their families, relatives throw in, and then it goes bust, and then he becomes an alcoholic. But this appears to be one of those. Everything started to line up right away. We'll continue on after Leslie does the traffic and a few important words. Visiting with Kim and Scott Holstein, they have come up with the Crave Bar. It's a delicious ice cream bar. I'm interested in the backstory of how one goes from thinking about an idea and then getting it out there, much like you see on Shark Tank. And if you were listening a few minutes ago, they start with Kim is making pretzels in her kitchen because she was fixated on pretzels. Never explained why. Maybe she had somebody that was dressed as a pretzel when she was a kid that stuck with her. Maybe she was dressed as a pretzel for Halloween, but she just got obsessed with pretzels out of the blue. And Scott worked at a Ben & Jerry's, so he had a little experience with ice cream. So then he meets Kim, and they start talking, and they start with the pretzels. You had marketed these pretzels, got on QVC, and started to really take off. And now where is all this as far as that goes? You're on QVC. You get 200,000 orders. And where do you go from there?
So from there, we started selling more in the frozen aisle in grocery stores.
How do you get into a grocery store if you have an item? I mean, it's got to be tough because don't companies pay for shelf space? It's very political, right?
Yeah.
It's really tough.
And you're going up against some behemoths that do ice cream.
Yeah. So with pretzels, we're certified nationally as a woman-owned business, which really helps getting into the large chains, because a lot of them have set-asides for minority and women-owned businesses. So that helped us a lot for the big retail chains. But for a lot of the smaller, like local places in wherever you might live, or in Chicago area, you can walk in and ask if they'll carry it. It's real simple. Getting
the specialty markets.
Yeah. Now, getting local into a grocery store is step one. Staying in and getting the product to move is a much bigger step, because just because you're in the store doesn't mean it's going to be successful or that you're going to move product.
You took your pretzels to what stores initially?
We were in Whole Foods. Yeah, Whole Foods for a long time.
And it took off right away?
They were a great supply, retail supplier.
And then the buyer at Jewel took us in the natural frozen section. And his name is Jim Seidler, great guy. And he took us in, and he, really supported us and had seen us do festivals in Chicago. And so
once you get into the grocery store, who does the marketing? Do you market on your own, or they help you market?
On your own. Yeah. We had to do it. We did a lot of demos, samples, events. We'd team up with them and do special events. You have to be creative.
Radio advertising is a good way to go, too.
That's a great idea.
Yes, if you'll consider that, please.
Yes.
This is the pretzel we're talking about, and we're working our way to the ice cream bar.
Exactly.
We used to do summer festivals all the time with the pretzels, Old Town Art Festival, Halsted Market Days, anything where we could be in front of people and handing out product. What you don't know, that a big food company, they want to get a product out. They're just going to throw money at traditional advertising like television or radio. Nothing against radio at all. It's great. We didn't have the funds to do it, but you could go out and just sample and sell at art festivals and, music festivals and things like that.
Literally hand to mouth.
Yes.
Hand to mouth. And we had to be creative. It was just wherever we could find people to try our products and let them experience the pretzels.
And we didn't have social media back then. So now you have a whole nother platform to get buzz and create buzz. And you have food trucks out there, which we just bought an ice cream
That's
truck.
That's the latest craze. Yes. Now, the mobile food unit. You have a
Bring
truck
it right
now.
To the people.
The yes. Crave Bar ice cream truck, much like a Good Humor truck. You go around ringing a bell. How does that work?
Similar. We're going to be doing a bunch of festivals this summer. So, like the Rib Fest and the Halsted Market Days, Old Town Art Fest, places like that.
When did the ice cream bar concept come about?
So it really started with Ravinia. I think that's where we got to start. Because, right? I mean, we were selling our pretzels at Ravinia. And Scott, for a couple of years, was obsessed with this idea to take a hard pretzel stick, chocolate stick, and put ice cream on top and dip it in ice cream. I mean, dip it in chocolate.
Infuse it.
I'd love to talk to you, too, when you're drunk. Imagine the thoughts, because this is what they think about just in a normal way. I have this idea. The stick is a pretzel. I love it.
It's like 9.5 weeks.
We're crazy.
My buddies are all laughing because it's probably exactly what I do.
We love thinking about ideas all the time.
Great. Yes. That's how this works. It's,
so she's right. Yeah. So we were at Ravinia, and the folks, the buyers at Ravinia had asked. I kept talking about this. I got a great idea for an ice cream bar. And then eventually they said, well, where is it? And I was like, okay, now I got to actually produce this thing. Idea is one thing, getting it made and produced.
You start making that in your kitchen?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
So we set out to find, the most premium ingredients, just real chocolate. I mean, these are dipped in real chocolate. So it's not like a coating that you'll find at the, regular old grocery store bar. I mean, this is like rich chocolate, finding the right ice cream, just premium, super premium ice cream, and creating that salty sweet combination.
So you start experimenting, you find the right formula.
Exactly.
And now who makes your ice cream bars? Where does that
happen? We make them. We have a partnership here in Chicago, and we make them on the south side at 7600.
The candy factory.
Yeah, our candy factory. And the biggest challenge with that product is the pretzel stick not breaking and also not getting messy when you're holding it. Because the pretzel stick is covered in caramel and chocolate and sea salt, and it's fused on top with a... as she mentioned, a hand-cut super premium ice cream bar.
Well, it is delicious. And
They're all handmade.
Where can one find these, or do you have a website you'd like to send people to?
Both.
Yeah, the cravebar.com. They can find all the locations that we're selling around the Chicago area.
Yeah, we're at Mariano's stores, all those stores. They've been a great partner. And then we're in some specialty stores around the city and foodstuffs up north.
It's all listed on the website.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well,
and then can we mention one other thing?
Yeah.
Is that we have a whole initiative called Crave for a Cause, and it's really about finding out about the causes that you crave, and then we team up and make a difference in our community through fundraising and other efforts like that. So we're just trying to put the word out as we team up with different organizations and people in the communities. That's how, you know, we can make a difference while we build our business.
Great.
And this, the Crave truck, as I mentioned, it's going to be around the city, and we can use that as well with the Crave for a Cause.
And that is a truck made out entirely of chocolate and ice cream that you drive. They've come up with their own vehicle.
That's right.
It's a Chicago success story, and congratulations and good luck with everything else. Kim and Scott Holstein. And check out the Crave Bar and their organization.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to say I've been listening to you, Gary, for years. And
I know you were 12. I was 13 when I started.
And I just am so honored to be here.
No,
I
really
appreciate it.
Excited to see stuff like this happen to people like you.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you so much.
Super G. Robin is the co-host of the Channel 9 Morning Show, and she joins me when she can every Tuesday, and we just kind of shoot the breeze, and that's what we're doing.
Breeze.
You need a breeze today, do you, Robin?
I do. How are you doing, Gare?
I'm loving this hot weather.
Isn't it awesome being inside the studio and not outside when it's gorgeous? Just the one time it's nice working mornings when it actually gets warm outside.
And then you're on your way home and you're doing some alfresco dining, and then you hit the sack about 5:30.
That's exactly right.
All right.
Are you spying on me?
I have a camera, as a lot of other places do on something going on our streets.
Yes, and
massage parlors, as I'm sure you covered that story this morning on your newscast. Was that a massage parlor that was raided and that girl got roughed up, allegedly by the cop?
Yeah, and it was odd video, though, because you couldn't really see anything. It was also very hard to hear. But obviously there was some stuff caught on tape that is
being analyzed
someone
now.
Someone will see. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But
I was surprised at the number of police to go raid a massage parlor.
Yeah, you wouldn't think you'd need a full-on squad of people. You wouldn't think you'd get a lot of resistance there, you know?
There must have been 10 cops to throttle this massage parlor, allegedly.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe there's a lot of people that, you know, someone says, hey, I'm going to do this. You need an assist. I can help you. You know, get a lot of volunteers in a situation like that, maybe.
What was the problem with the massage parlor? Why was it raided?
I think it was one of the officers that were there alleges that when he was there getting massaged, someone offered him something that they shouldn't have offered him, and so that's when they went back. I think that was the story, but then I don't know how this all happened where they all went back and all this was caught on tape. So.
Well, that is not the happy ending that we hope to have here in Chicago. But is that the biggest problem going on in the city? If that is our biggest piece of acne out there, really.
Really. If that's our biggest problem that we need 25 cops to respond to, then I think we're doing all right in this city. But I don't think that's the case, you know.
Well, tomorrow you've got the internet sensation Grumpy Cat.
Yeah, you're familiar with this cat, right?
I've seen it on the internet, yeah, and it's going to be in the studio.
Right. So I guess, you know, this girl who owns the cat her brother or a relative just took a picture of the cat one day and posted it on Reddit or something, and it's just got that natural scowl and hang down eyelids that makes it look like it's really angry with the world, and it just went nuts on the internet, and everyone's been reposting that picture. But I guess, you know, she quit her job. They're making, you know, this is a full-on business now, being the owner of the Grumpy Cat.
And
it's on tour.
Okay, so you charge people to come and see the cat? How do you make money?
I don't know. I don't know if they, maybe through every picture that's posted somewhere or all these memes that are recreated, they get a cut of, or I know that they're in town for some type of an appearance. I mean, we're obviously don't pay them to be on our show. I mean, that's quite an honor for Grumpy Cat being on the WGN Morning News.
Right.
But, I don't know. I don't know. Is it advertising? Do they have their own website?
Well,
you
have a series of questions ready to go. You could hit the sack right on time tonight.
See, you always put me on the spot. See, I think of these on the fly, Gary, and now I'm starting to think I should investigate this a little more. You always put me on the spot with my questions. You're not very good.
Okay, I don't think you have to go 60 minutes on Grumpy Cat. I think you'll be fine with a few softballs.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I always get a text or two when this one commercial runs saying, is that Robin Baumgarten, this Hills Brothers coffee commercial? Let me play a little bit for you.
Ready for an afternoon coffee break? Try new Hills Brothers coffee in single-serve cups. The unique cup design gives you all the flavor and aroma of Hills Brothers, one single cup at a time.
That's
trust
not you,
the taste.
Is it?
Share the
tradition.
It is not me, but I could be making a lot of money.
That is actually our traffic reporter, Mary Vandervelde.
Shut up!
Yeah!
What?
But it does sound like you, so if...
It does.
If you don't have enough keeping you busy, maybe you can put your toe in that water.
South side, she's got kind of a south side nasal thing happening there. Not that I have one, but it's. I'm just wondering if she might be as well.
No, she's a Villa Parker.
What?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Yep. Anyway, that's cleared up. And you got Tony Esposito on to talk about game two with the Hawks.
Yep. So, this time of the year, we start to have, you know, Cirque Shanghai and all the circus performance, just like the old Bozo days. Gary, we're trying to recreate all the variety, special stuff. We're going to get monkeys riding dogs. We got a grumpy cat. We got circus. It's just a free-for-all now.
And then to pretend like you're actually a serious show, a child psychologist joins you to tell you about parents, your parents out there, who should be aware when their kids are on social media, cell phones, and dating at what age.
Yes. And so I guess they'll give us a definitive answer, and we'll find out how much we've screwed up our kids already.
On a very serious WGN morning show. Yeah.
A very special
exactly.
WGN morning show.
All right, Robin, get to bed. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you. Bye.
Thank you. Carol, what's on your mind?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you about the grumpy cats.
Okay.
They're stuffed animals, and they're darling. They featured them at Easter when they had Peter Rabbit and other stuffed animals. And I purchased several from Barnes & Noble. And they were Siamese, brown and white. And they were very reasonable, about $10, $11.
Oh, that's reasonable. Probably cost 30 cents to make
in
China.
Very popular and just as cute as they can be with their little scrunched up face.
And this is that cat that became an internet sensation. I was talking to Robin a few minutes ago.
The grumpy cat, that's right.
The owner is making a fortune, and I was wondering, okay, how do you make your fortune on this? It's just a cat on the internet, but here's how you make your fortune. Yeah.
Yes, it's a little departure, and it was popular at Easter. That's when I purchased mine.
All right. Well, there's my answer. Thanks, Carol.
But people do pay to wait in line to see the cat.
They do.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Where?
I mean,
that's where in a hotel.
And it's C2E2.
Oh, wait. In a hotel.
Yeah, in the banquet room.
You're kidding.
No, in the Buena Vista room. On the second floor, there'll be Grumpy Cat.
Okay. How much do people pay to see this cat?
I don't know. 25 probably, 50.
And they line up and they go and
probably take a picture.
She's
but
an
it's on the internet. You can take a picture off the internet.
Not with me.
Okay.
I take a picture with it.
They let you take a picture with the cat.
I think so. Selfie.
When was the last time you touched a cat with dwarfism?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. She has feline dwarfism. So she's teeny, and she looks really sad all the time, or angry all the time.
She's going to be in the cat version of Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
Ain't that America? All right, another band name. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Feline Dwarfism to Lollapalooza.
Hey, got all the records.
Tomorrow, the show will be on the stream only. It's been a goofy setup here. I was led to believe that I was going to be on the stream and then rejoin AM 720 when the Cubs game was over. And then word came down, no, you're going to stream and then you're going to skedaddle and you're going to throw it. Well, I'm not going to throw it anywhere, at least not the show. I'll throw a fit elsewhere.
You've been slinging it.
But I'm not throwing anything because the Cubs game will end. Well, I'll just be on till the Cubs game ends. Right? On the
exactly.
Street. Because what happens then, they're going to throw it to United Center and a host of people will be broadcasting from there on AM 720 and on that stream that I was previously on, right?
Before the Hawks game.
Up to the Hawks pregame, yes.
During the Cubs game.
No, we're during the Cubs game.
I'm during the Cubs game.
That's what I'm saying.
They're after the Cubs game on the stream and on AM 720. And this goes back to when I was in pharmacy school and asking why do you have to dissect a cat to be a pharmacist? And the reply was because if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. It was kind of in that category of an answer that really wasn't an answer. Why can't I just be at the United Center broadcasting? Oh, because we're going to do a Hawks-centric show. Well, I have Hawks people on. I have
Hawks heavy.
Hawks heavy. I'll have an Eddie O.
A Weideman.
Weideman, a Troy Murray.
Espo.
Right. I've had a bunch of those people on. Now, that's done for now. But in the process, I thought, okay, well, I usually do the caption contest on Wednesdays, so that can't happen. But then Craig said, well, we're getting captions already because it was posted. The cartoon was posted by Scott Stantis. So why don't we just have him on the stream? Okay, let's just continue on with that. The cartoon is Rahm Emanuel, who has drawn a beard with a magic marker. He's taking a selfie, and then there's a guy behind him. It looks like the guy behind him is looking at his phone.
Maybe is he texting?
It could be. You decide. You make the caption.
Like maybe he's texting something like, oh, there's Rahm in front of me.
Right, whatever that is. And Rahm also has a Blackhawks jersey on. So work from that. Top three, I'm running out the muffs because it is summer, but I've got a few muffs left over, so the top three get muffs, and then some runners-up will get some gift cards.
Don't they do that in Spain, too, the running of the muffs?
Yeah. You ever done that? You try not to get hit. Okay. Super G. Gary Meyer, 50,000 watt, Labin Cabin, Grumpy Cat on the front burner. What a great country. You have a cat that has dwarfism, and now you're a millionaire. That's how it works. Put it on the internet. John, you pick it up from there.
Great show. From what I understand now, this Grumpy Cat is charging between $500 and $1,000 stud fees to mate with other cats.
Stud fees.
So that's probably where they're making a lot of their money. Yeah.
Stud fees was this great.
Isn't she a mare?
But it's a
great
female.
Author in Chicago. He wrote a lot about the working man.
Race.
Stud fees.
Race.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, this guy.
Well, wait. But it's a girl. Grumpy Cat's a girl.
It's a mare.
You can mate it.
Yeah, but you don't get a stud fee to be a girl.
how does that work?
Her actual name is Tartar Sauce, and it's a girl.
I think she's mating with a Morris, and they're going to have some kind of a special deal there. You know, how they do all these conglomerates where they all join up with each other.
No, I don't know any of that. Jim?
Yeah?
Don't make stuff up. Come on. Jimmy?
Hey, I just wanted to use the Blabbing Cabin. Said that you hit it right on the head that they probably went out and went on that one show that you guys were talking about that they made all of the puppy cats and grumpy cats in China, you know?
Oh, yeah. That woman said she bought a stuffed animal for $10, a grumpy cat stuffed animal. I'm sure it cost all of 30 cents to make in China. Some 9-year-old put about 1,000 of them together on his midnight shift.
You know, they could talk about all these taxes and all this other stuff. And so we start making stuff again, we're never going to go anywhere.
No, we're going the wrong way, as Steve Martin said, in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It's absolutely. All right. Hey, Garrett, thanks a lot for letting me blab.
No problem. It is the Blabbing Cabin.
He loves your blab.
I'm glad to blab. Flapping my soup coolers on a Tuesday. Back to this George Lucas Museum. Chicago has come up with a site. It's the parking lot near the John G. Shedd Aquarium, the John G. Shedd Planetarium, and the John G. Shedd Field Museum. They want to have the John G. Shedd George Lucas Museum there, part of the museum campus. It was former Mayor Jane Byrne who first proposed uniting the Field Museum, Planetarium, and Aquarium as part of a package of improvements tied to a 1992 World's Fair. The World's Fair never happened, but the museum campus did 16 years after Byrne first proposed it. And she was not invited to the 1998 dedication ceremony. She's kind of been, as it says in this article, erased from the minds of people here. And that
Except
was,
you, right?
He was almost her
Didn't
in-law.
Didn't you see her in a bathing suit?
He was almost her in-law.
Okay. Easy now. I went out with her daughter a couple times.
Oh, it was all over the gossip rags.
Okay. And then when I...
You were Aaron Gold's number one piece in the in his column for about 8 months.
Easy now. Aaron and I were just friends. I'm not anybody's piece. When I went to pick her up, first of all, there's a cop outside her door. You go through that.
And it was Kathy Byrne.
Kathy Byrne. And then I go in. Hi, these are for you. Whatever I had. Chocolates.
Gave it to the cop?
The chocolates. So he wouldn't pistol whip me.
Please Thanks
don't
a lot.
Abuse me.
Yeah. Like they do at these tanning salons. Was it a tanning salon or
I think it was a tanning.
Yeah, because I'm getting texts about that incident that happened with the cops.
It was a tanning salon and spa.
And spa.
Yeah, I guess there was an offer to have no tan lines.
All right. And then there was a big bust. Anyway.
Well, there could have been.
So Kathy
Although
says,
she was only 5'1".
I want to say goodbye to my mother. She's up at the pool. So the pool was on top of the building. So I go up there, and there's the mayor in a two-piece.
A two-piece?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
She was sporting a two-piecer?
Yeah, another bodyguard up there.
Wow.
So that was pretty. I mean, to meet the mayor of Chicago in a two-piece bathing suit, that's probably not
Where do you look?
Happen anymore. I always look on the bright side. Anyway, she says, I saw it all, an expanded O'Hare, the International Terminal, the Southwest and Northwest Rapid Transit Lines, Navy Pier, and the museum campus, all as one colossal coming together of Chicago and opening its arms to the world. It shouldn't have taken this long. Asked on that day whether his political arch rival deserves some credit for the museum campus, Mayor Squeaky, people talk about a lot of things, but how do you put it into action? You have to make decisions. There is no funding. How do you do it? It was through the whole idea of forming that taxing district for McPeer. Yeah, okay.
Couldn't even give her credit for
that. No, they really locked horns on a lot of things.
Well, he ran against her.
Exactly. But she had the Christmas tree on Wacker, and as soon as he became mayor, he put it back in Daly Plaza. Yeah. And then when he was talking about when they moved Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, the S-curve? Or that
no,
whole thing?
Lakeshore Drive, so it's...
Oh.
To accommodate the campus?
Away from the campus.
Oh, right.
It says here, no longer was the Field Museum what Daly called an island isolated by 10 lanes of surging traffic. Yeah, great.
Who wrote that for him?
Exactly.
So what did she say? Gary, my eyes are up here.
By that time, the bodyguard was already pistol whipping me again. I said, the other cop has your chocolates, by the way. If he wants to share those chocolates, they're on the 35th floor or whatever floor they were on.
Bunch of rappers.
Walked back down there and all gone.
Half box.
She was a very nice woman and first female mayor in this city. Are you kidding me? For that, she should get some credit.
First person who wasn't a Daly was the mayor
exactly.
of this county. Or from the 10th, from the South Side 10th Ward.
But she did get shafted on a lot of ideas.
Chicago Fest was cool.
Yeah,
what was that?
Was her thing.
What was that Navy Pier before it was all dolled up?
And then she lived in the, Cabrini Green?
Yeah, she took an apartment there for a few days.
Yeah.
She was in that
famous picture when she wore the Blues Brothers hat with the glasses and her and Kathy. Remember they were wearing the Blues Brothers?
Exactly. Hey, if you're going to participate in the Scott Stantis cartoon contest, you got to send the caption to my Facebook page, The Gary Myers Show. What time will he be on? Because, again, it's a whole different arrangement tomorrow. 4 o'clock tomorrow on the stream only, WGNradio.com.
Did you date Eugene Sawyer's daughter? or just can't remember.
I went Cafe Mocha.
Did you? Okay.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I figured you were going through all of them.
Yeah, really? You figured that? If you were sitting in your basement.
The big Bill Thompson was tough.
Yeah, he was in his basement cataloging his Elton John junk.
I had my Coho Lips card going, wow, Gary Meyer must be really cool.
And now it's this.
And then I found out.
Yeah, of course, you didn't help.
Blendick had a cute
I was until this happened. What?
Didn't Michael Blendick have a... Like a teenage daughter, Mayor Times?
Well, I think
daughter?
You went out with Heather, didn't you?
No. They had a baby. He dated their baby.
Jane Thompson was Jane
I
Thompson.
Knew
yeah,
it.
You went out with Jane
Everybody
Thompson.
Everybody said you dated the baby.
The baby. Date the baby. Mayor Bland, remember him?
Well, you went with Mariella Smith, too, didn't you?
Shut up. I got into it.
Mayor
with,
Washington,
the mayor,
Paramar.
Samantha Thompson, wasn't that
right.
The governor's daughter?
Well, yeah, she told me she didn't dig his three-bedroom apartment in Hyde Park. Not three bedrooms, three rooms. I'm sorry, three rooms.
It was Mariella, wasn't it?
Mariella, yeah.
Yeah, Mariella yeah. Smith, right? Yeah.
You know, I remember when Jane, when he died, Jane Byrne just showing up because I spent most of the weekend at City Hall and when he was lying in state and she got in the back of the line and waited through the whole line to go through.
Yeah,
she had to wait?
She chose to wait. Oh. Yeah.
She was kind of a, you know, she was a little gutsy woman there.
Yeah, I mean, maverick, come on.
She took on the machine.
Yeah. And this town could use something different, I think.
How about Ross Gonkowski's daughter? Did you ever see her?
I went to school with her.
Yeah. How about Roman Pachinski?
Yeah, how about you and Aurelia?
Yeah.
Aurelia Meyer.
Nice Aurelia.
Ori.
Lisa Madigan ain't talking, right?
Okay.
Bart DePinka was a little too old, right?
He's
yeah, but he
now.
Dates Julie, babies, Julie, so why not?
Julie Bar Meyer.
It's like Simon Bar Sinister.
Her hair color's only available on tropical fish. This email about Grumpy Cat. This one you thought you've heard everything about Grumpy Cat. According to this email from Sally, the Humane Society magazine says, Grumpy Cat's life is nonstop. Trips, television, appearances, interviews, awards. She is under contract to star in a movie. She has a book out, Grumpy Cat, a Grumpy Book. She has her own brand of bottled coffee drinks and a Friskies cat food endorsement. What the heck? It's all because this cat has a feline dwarfism.
We're actually, you know, making fun of a disease.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's not
no,
right.
She's absolutely adorable. Well, there's no making fun of her.
Small body, shortened legs, flattened face, and a downturned mouth that gives her that disgruntled expression. Sounds like management here.
I thought we were going to talk
That's
about
what management looks like here most of the time. But, hey.
Wow.
Where's their movie? Where's their calendar?
Where's their drink?
Coffee drink.
Their Friskies endorsement.
Yeah. You got that look. Market it. Don't walk around here all weird.
Oh, just because the guy happened to put a picture on? If he didn't take that picture and posted it?
But that's the internet.
No industry.
And you can buy a Grumpy Cat stuffed animal for, what, $10, that woman said?
Very affordable.
That's
what she said.
She bought several for Easter.
They were very affordable.
Nothing screams Easter like a dwarfed cat.
Grumpy Cat.
Yeah. Got that right. Okay, so I got this text that said, hey, Bob Surratt talked about dating the mayor's daughter at 12:30.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Damn.
I got to get her earlier. And
he takes up all the good topics.
He does.
I think he was doing Oak Lawn, though. You did Chicago.
The mayor of Oak Lawn?
Yeah, her his daughter.
He was working suburban.
Yeah. Well, you had the city.
Yeah, we drew a line. Okay, you might hear some crackling now because the storm is approaching. That's just part of the deal. That was designed when they built radios to put that in for AM.
There's been an odd line of storms just going straight down the Illinois-Wisconsin state line, just straight east-west, right down the line.
On the top of our state.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not one that blows by. It just keeps coming and coming if you live on the line.
All right, well, we're not on the line.
But it's
here.
Not crossing it?
You
it's
might
just
be
like
on the
right
line.
Because the roads are bad, and they don't like paying the tolls, these storms. They know. That's the curse we have here in Illinois.
But the storm up in Wisconsin, it's much smoother.
Right. On our side, it's cross. So as a storm crosses the line, it's very smooth.
So much more bumpy by us.
Over and over.
And what are we, flips? Isn't that what they call us?
Fibs.
Fibs?
Flips. Yeah. Fibs. What are fibs?
I think that's what they call us in Indiana.
Fibs?
No.
Fibs in Wisconsin.
But what's a fib?
You don't know what that is?
You, no. My friend, are a fib.
What does that mean? You know what it is? Does it stand for something obscene?
I think
it stands for fibs. What do you think?
The first word, is your...
Oh, is the F word?
Yeah. And then...
Wait, save it for the stream tomorrow.
Second word is the I word.
Illinois.
What's a B?
What is that?
A bastard.
Oh.
Wow. Excuse me. I have two parents, I will have you know. I resent that.
And they were married.
Yes. Take it back. Yeah, cheesehead.
Is that what we're known as?
Oh, yeah. You've never heard that before?
No.
Well, what do you want? You're sitting here ripping your own state and your own people.
Yeah, so why should we... I'm doing it for them. What are they doing it to me for, then? Okay. I'm helping them.
Why don't you take your cellophane litter...
And you can see right through it.
And go north.
Couldn't even tell.
The G.
Go.
From the WGN Allstate Showcase Studios.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Good evening, America.
Arizona firefighters are encouraging residents to create defensible space around their property in case a fire breaks out.
Oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Some people are using goats to clear these areas because goats can access terrain too steep or rugged for humans and machinery. And they pretty much eat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, somebody needs to experiment with transferring goat stomachs into humans. Have you ever seen a fat goat?
Boy, are you fat.
I ask you.
You have the manners of a goat.
The city of Chicago is offering a parking lot next to the Shedd Aquarium to George Lucas.
The ultimate power in the universe.
For his museum. Very nice.
Very, that was very good.
If that happens in the spring, you can go smelt fishing right there and then visit the museum. Or simply chew caca and visit Chewbacca.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the Allstate Glass Box on your Blackhawks, boom, Cubs Nation Mothership, the 720 Dreamliner, the Super G, WGN, Chicago.
Tom, I got a text after that aired at 3 o'clock. What's the matter with smelt? You make it sound like it's bad. It's good eating. You ever seen a smelt?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever eaten one?
No.
They're good.
Oh, my God. They're disgusting looking.
Oh, Gary, they're delicious. You'll see folks camped out along the lakefront here in Chicago with their little lights, and then they cook them up in little coffee cans, and they're pretty good.
Oh,
they really are.
Okay. They look like silver turds. Hey, what do we got going here? Am I going to be able to eat al fresco, or is my pulled pork going to get blown off?
Nothing imminent here. We've got rain 35 miles north of the loop right now up north Chicago. There's been some hail reported up by Zion. There's a cell about 40 miles northwest of the loop up in Elgin. And there are big storms that have just prompted thunderstorm warnings out in Lee County and Stevenson counties. These things tower to 51,000 feet. They've produced hail the size of ping pongs out around Dubuque and the area of
ping
northwest
pong
Illinois.
Tables, paddles, balls?
Balls. You wouldn't want to be hit on the head by one of those. But lots of hail with these things so far. And they're doing about what we thought. They're developing northern counties. And, the outflow from these storms forms the boundary along which the next cluster of storms form. And with time, these eastbound storms are shifting farther and farther south. So they'll be getting into the city later this evening. And I suspect that, I hope you bring some rain gear to the Cubs game because there might be some delays in that.
If you don't, I'm sure they'll sell you some.
I bet they will.
Jim is on the blower. What up, Jimmy?
Hey, Gary, love your show.
Thank you.
No disrespect to your city, but I was just listening to you guys talking about the FIPS.
FIPS.
We live out in the country in Michigan, and I, like I say, love your show. We love your city, come to visit it, but I wouldn't want to live in a big city because we're country bumpkins. But
it's pretty good.
In the country, they call you guys, blank Illinois people because, they say you drive 90 mile an hour in your hometown over there, and you guys come over here and stop at every intersection out in the country looking for things or wineries or something and causing traffic jams out in the countries with all of our tractors.
Oh, well, that's an interesting thought.
Tom, you've heard this expression, FIPS, FIBS.
What is that?
Referring to Illinois.
Yeah.
F-bomb Illinois bastards and people.
Oh, I Pips. See. Well, you know what we're called in northern lower Michigan? We're called fudgies up there around the Mackinac Island. No, because they sell fudge out there, and we as tourists go up and buy fudge.
That doesn't stand for anything like effing...
No.
Ungodly, goofy fudge. No. Oh, D, F-U-D.
Yeah,
ungodly, dope.
No, it's not an acronym. No, we're called fudgies because we buy a lot of fudge as tourists.
You are entering level one of discomfort.
Level one of discomfort.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
We're number six, Jimmy.
Jim, we'll be careful when we come over and drive more carefully.
Oh, sure.
What Jim doesn't realize, we can't go 90 miles an hour. And well, maybe we do on the highways, but I mean, in the city, we've got enough traffic, we can't move that
Are you
thing.
Kidding me?
Well, all that's true on Lakeshore Drive, though.
All these expressways, it's at least a half a dozen goofs going 90,
well,
zipping in and
true.
Out.
That's true, weaving in and out. You and I have talked about
Dopes.
That. Yeah.
All right, so then after this passes...
Well, what happens tonight, Gary, is these clusters will be in and out of various areas around here. They distribute their rain notoriously unevenly, the same with their winds and all. So some areas, we just got to watch the radar, and we'll be doing that all evening. But it looks like by, 4 or 5 in the morning, this stuff will be out of here. And it looks like it'll be sooner up north than down south. South will be the latest to get in on the storm. So you folks down by Frankfort or Kankakee or DeMott or Gary or... areas like that, Knox, Indiana, Ottawa, you'll get the storms later than we do in the city and in our northern suburbs. But then tomorrow there might be a little pop-up shower in the afternoon, but it'll be partly cloudy and in the 80s again. The wind comes off the lake Thursday. We turn cool. We have lake breezes right on the shoreline, so low 70s inland, 60s on the lakeshore Friday. And the weekend warms up. I wouldn't be surprised we're flirting with 90 before the weekend's over in spots. So it's going to get warmer.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And bring on the heat.
Absolutely.
All right, Tom Hang coming right back.
All right, Gary.
On the Super G. And you're saying, Tom, there might be some rain interruptions?
Yeah, I think there probably will be. We've just had reports of hail now out in Lee and Ogle County, some areas. It looks like Watertown, Rochelle getting hard hit now. And, the Waukegan area is getting hard hit by some storms right now, as is the area up, Lake Somerset will get into it up west of Rockford. So, yeah, these things are eastbound. I think they'll be affecting us, toying around with the city here in a little bit. We've got a shower that just popped up west of Arlington Heights going in, and one down in just west of Aurora, and they're all eastbound. So they're coming this way, Gary.
You had a domed stadium, you just close that up.
Yeah.
Business as usual.
That's true. That's very true.
People in Milwaukee don't seem to mind it.
No.
And then if it's nice, you open the roof. What's so hard?
That's right. You know, did you see that they've got the Bob Uecker, shrine up there at the Milwaukee Stadium up there?
I have not seen that. I hear the park is beautiful.
It's a beautiful park, I guess. I have not been inside it. I've been by it. But it's up behind one of the beams there where, you've got a beam in your view. And he wanted his, it'd be like a Harry Carey statue, only putting it up in the stands behind a beam where you couldn't see the field well. But That's
Uecker.
Bob Uecker for you.
That was the Uke.
Yeah. I remember he was, during a rain delay, he was talking to Hawk one time, and he said, oh, how's that nose of yours doing, Hawk? And he said, they ever do anything with that surgically, that's an evening on the Discovery Channel, It was good
luck. I love you. That guy had it all going.
He did.
TV commercials, those beer commercials.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, too. I when I worked in Milwaukee, he would come into our station every now and then. Really nice guy.
When did he die?
No, he hasn't. He's still, I think he's very
sure?
much alive.
No, I think he's dead.
Is he?
I don't want to say anything. But,
oh, no.
Because I don't know if you're still trying to call him.
My gosh.
Time missed the memorial.
Jeez. Is that right?
You weren't as close as you thought.
Wow.
I think he's dead.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
and one of your former WGN colleagues died,
no,
too.
No, he's not dead.
Okay. He's not
You didn't
dead.
Miss anything, Tom.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's
yeah,
hard
I
to
thought
tell
I
something.
Heard that he was...
How old is he?
Gosh, I think, didn't I hear 80 or
He'll
something?
He'll be 80, yeah. He's 80 in January.
When did he retire?
Oh, my gosh. From broadcasting?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant from playing.
I think he's still doing the games, isn't he?
Now we got a bunch of stuff on the Bozo pewter.
I know.
That we have to sort out.
I'm sorry. I should do my homework better before I bring something up, but I just haven't.
He's not still
that.
Broadcasting, is he?
I thought he...
I don't know. I mean, really, is this something we need to know?
Must be the front row.
I understand all that. And while we're trying to sort all this out, I will be doing this special kind of broadcasting at the Rockford International Airport on June 4th.
Now, that sounds cool. You're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you like it out there. That's a great airport.
They have a nice schmear for us.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will be come one, come all to the airport. It's going to be in the terminal.
That's great.
So we can just all get ready to board.
Sure.
Or be bored. It depends on how things go.
And you said earlier you're flying your experimental aircraft out there, so you're going to land.
I'll take the ultralight in.
Ultralight, yeah.
Hope I don't end up like that Bachelor guy.
No.
Oh, man.
Or John Denver. That wasn't he flying an experimental
aircraft? Yeah, he ran out
aircraft?
Of gas.
Yeah.
Uecker's still broadcasting, too? Not only was two minutes ago he was dead and retired.
I know.
In that order.
I know.
He's still alive and still broadcasting.
Yeah, he's doing well. I'm telling you, Bob's a ball of energy. I don't think Bob's going anywhere anytime soon, which is good.
But he has nice cut guy. Back his broadcast schedule, so he's not doing every game.
It's good.
But he is alive.
So that's 3 to 6:30 June 4th at the Rockford International Airport.
That's good.
Come on out, and more details at WGNradio.com for directions and all that.
That's good.
You know who I invited? I just sent an email. I know you can't go because it's a weekday.
Bob at Orion.
Jim Ramsey.
Oh, Jim.
Good guess, though.
Oh, because Orion's kind of about that way.
Isn't Huntley near Rockford?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, I've said a lot of things that aren't right in the last few minutes.
No, you're
but
absolutely
right. I think Rambo lives nearer to Rockford than he does Chicago.
Yeah, I think Jim's up in the Lake Zurich area. So
okay, maybe that's close for him and he can stop by.
Sure.
Love to have him come by.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to join you out there, too.
No, you're always welcome, too, but it's always during the week.
I know.
And they've got you chained to that desk over there.
I know. You know, though, Gary, I've purchased a nice pair of wire cutters here. You know, so
someday.
One of these days I'm going to just snap that and sneak out of here. They won't even know where I've gone.
Hey, where'd he go?
Yeah.
He's like our silly putty. We've got to keep him chained up.
Right.
Otherwise he'll leave us.
Absolutely.
All right, and tomorrow, again, stream only.
Gotcha.
Starting at 3 o'clock.
Which is always an experience.
It's a very casual situation. If you've never heard the broadcast on the stream, join in, WGNradio.com. And then when the Cubs game is over, I'm going home, they say.
Are you?
Yeah. There's no rejoining the mothership, none of that.
So why is that?
Good question. It'll be the first one I ask when I come in tomorrow. I've asked that today. But
you are entering level four of discomfort.
Level four.
You got to recalibrate.
As soon as I asked that, everybody went home.
Yeah.
Lights were off in offices. We got to go to a meeting. Then they're going to do something at the United Center with some other people on AM 720 and the stream. So
gotcha.
I got to skedaddle when the Cubs game is over.
I see. Yeah. That's good.
Is it?
Well,
it
gives you an early
night. I'd like to see you find the silver lining in that one.
Well, it's an early night,
Gary. Who is always up and positive.
You can go al fresco earlier.
I will do that.
Is it al fresco or al fresco? I should check that
out.
Al
fresco.
Al fresco.
Al fresco is a drink.
Right. The fresco is a Coca-Cola drink.
Something like that, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, you'll get it straight. Don't worry about it.
I thought maybe fresco was when it was cold, you know, and fresco was when it was warm or something like that.
Yeah. Well, we're heading into some bumpy air here, and I think we're going to strap in and just try to ride it out.
All right, Gary.
And we got Mr. Surratt, Judd, this one, doing the pregame, as you know, Tom.
Is he really related? I hear Bob calling him his cousin or
his nephew.
His nephew. Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, so they are related.
Yeah, why would they make that up?
I don't know.
No purpose in that.
I didn't know. I heard Bob say that, and I didn't know that was
his
the case.
His nephew, yeah.
Cool.
All right, and then the Cubs and Yankees, which Tom says might have some rain interruptions.
Yeah, they're going to get going, though, Gary. There's no question. They'll get that game underway. So
talk to you tomorrow on the stream,
Tom. Okay.
Thanks for listening. Have a great night.